This guy goes to his friend is a doctor, and he calls him up one day and says, "Doctor, listen, I think my wife is going deaf. I talk to her, she doesn't respond. Sometimes it doesn't even seem like she hears me and turns around and says anything to me." And the doctor said, "Well, how bad is it?" And he said, "What? You know, I don't know. From a scale of 1 to 10, I don't know." So the doctor said this: "Okay, tonight when you get home, stand about 15 feet away from your wife and say something to her. If she doesn't respond, walk 5 feet closer and say something to her. If she doesn't respond, walk 5 feet closer and say something. That way, when you tell me when, you know, how close you are when she finally hears you." He said, "Okay, that sounds good. I'll do that." So he does this. He goes home and he stands 15 feet away from his wife's in the kitchen. "Hey, honey, what's for supper?" And nothing. So he gets 5 feet closer. "Honey, what's for supper?" Nothing. Does it again, a little bit closer. "Honey, what's for supper?" Well, finally, he's just right next to her in her ear and says, "Honey, what's for supper?" She turns around and said, "For the fourth time, vegetable stew." Oh, goodness sakes. Jesus called the crowd to him in Matthew 15:10. He said, "Hear and understand. Hear and understand." We're going to talk about understanding tonight, today. And we're going to understand that it's not nighttime, it's daytime. We're going to understand why it's important to understand. Understanding. And so I was reading this story in 2 Chronicles 35. And it's a story about King Josiah. Now let me set this up for you, because King Josiah was, in my opinion, one of the best kings that Israel had in decades, if not centuries. Because after David, the kings seemed to go downhill with Israel. And so they were always getting into some trouble and worshiping other gods and building other temples and stuff like this. And they were just having a rough time of it. King Josiah comes in, and he's got a good heart. One of his guys finds a book in his treasury, brings it to him, and come to find out, it's like the Septuagint. It's their Bible. It's their law given to them from God. And Josiah said, "Well, no wonder we've kicked God out of our lives, our religion and our government and everything." And so he says, "Well, let's get this back." So Josiah begins to fix all this and bring Israel back to God, okay? And then this king of Egypt called Pharaoh Necho. He's coming through there and he's on his way to battle Babylon. Pharaoh Necho, history tells us this. The Bible doesn't get into all of this history, but real quick. Pharaoh Necho and the Egyptians are allying up with Syria and they're going to battle Babylon because Babylon is beginning to flex their super strength in this part of the world, and they're about to do some bad stuff, which turns out they did. They came down and destroyed Israel and many other countries as well. So in this part of the world, Babylon's about to be a big deal. Pharaoh Necho and the Egyptians join with Syria, and they're going to battle them, right? And Josiah steps in, and we're going to read about that. In 2 Chronicles 35, 20 through 22. Are you ready? Going to battle. Stretch out. After all this, when Josiah had set the temple in order, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to make war at Carchemish on the Euphrates, and Josiah went out to engage him. But Necho sent messengers to him, saying, "What have we to do with each other, O king of Judah? I've got no beef with you. I'm not coming against you today, but against the house with which I am at war, and God has ordered me to hurry. God, capital G, has ordered me to hurry. Stop, for your own sake, from interfering with God who is with me, so that he will not destroy you. However, Josiah would not turn away from him, but disguised himself in order to make war with him, nor did he listen to the words of Necho from the mouth of God, but came to make war on the plain of Megiddo. And King Josiah was hit with an arrow and died in that battle. A meaningless death. They weren't coming to fight Israel or King Josiah. They had nothing, no beef with him whatsoever. He was doing so good. What happened with King Josiah? Here's what I thought when I read this. I thought, oh man, Israel's about to get back on track and everything's going well, and King Josiah does this. Now, the Bible doesn't really say exactly why that King Josiah decided to battle, but what seems to be clear is that he definitely didn't go to God first. He did not involve God in his thought process or his decision making. Now, at the time, it probably seemed like a good idea. Those Egyptians, they had us enslaved for 400 years. I don't know what he was thinking. I'm just imagining out loud. But it probably seemed like a good idea. And all his countrymen were like, yeah, let's go get them. Let's rise up. And then one of the greatest kings that Israel's had in many, many years, and many other probably great warriors, died and suffered because of this meaningless and irrelevant war that they had, because God was trying to do something else. He actually began to battle God right when he was trying to get the country to go towards God. He had a lack of understanding. He didn't understand what God was doing. Hindsight's 20/20. We've heard that one, right? If only he knew now what he knew then. If only he knew then what he knew now, maybe he would have done things differently. Jesus says, hear and understand. I want to share with you another story, and this comes from Matthew 26 and 51. Now, this one is about Peter and Jesus, some of the disciples, right after the Lord's Supper, and they are gathered together, and you know Judas, the betrayer, and he's coming with some of the Jewish leaders, and they're about to arrest Jesus. And Peter's like, no, you ain't. Matthew 26, 51, and behold, one of those who were with Jesus, and we realize that from another gospel that that's Peter, reached and drew out his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, put your sword back into its place, for all those who take up the sword shall perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? How then will the scriptures be fulfilled, which say that it must happen this way? Jesus had to get on to Peter. Now, it probably seemed like a great idea at the time. I mean, look at what Peter's doing. He's risking his life and drawing his sword, and he's going to fight to defend the Son of God, the Messiah. Most of us here in this part of the country would have jumped at even the chance to defend Jesus physically. Right? Can you imagine if they tried to come and arrest Jesus at this church? (Laughs) probably, it seems like a great idea at the time. Yeah, let's get them. But that is not what God wanted to have happened right then at that time. Peter did not involve God in that decision. Just an example of something that seemed like a great idea. And to us, it may have been. And we'd be like, you can pry my sword from my cold, dead fingers. But that wasn't what God wanted. It seemed like a good idea, but it wasn't what God wanted. In both stories, and many like it that we can find in the Bible, what seems like a good idea to man is not always what God wants to have happen. Because man sometimes lacks understanding in a particular situation. Jesus says, hear and understand. Understand. They did not involve God in their decisions or their actions. Now, understand comes from this Greek word, suniemi. And it basically means, get this, to understand. Gotcha. And that's really how you perceive understanding. That's what it is, to perceive. It originally come from two words that meant to union and to send. And so it's these two ideas being put together. Comprehend, perceive. Like when something falls in line and you're like, okay, I understand now. Everything fell in line. That's what it's talking about. Perceiving, understanding. Now, I realized in this study that Jesus talks about understanding with the parable of the sower. So let's look at this. In Matthew 13, starting with verse 3, we'll make a lot of this make sense when Jesus starts talking about understanding. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because of no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. So I did a study about this, and a lot of times in that area where Jesus was, Jesus loved to paint a picture for people. It helped us understand. So there's this garden area. And anybody here that's planted a garden before, you know, you plow up a spot or you disc it, right? And then what we might just do one seed or one plant at a time. But he's talking about a sower sowing seed like this, getting it out of bag and throwing it like that. Now, around the garden area, though, is a lot of time a walkway because you don't want people walking through your garden. So there's a path that goes all the way around the garden. And that path that's been trod upon for possibly years is very worn down. It's very hard. So the seed that gets thrown on there, that's the roadway. That's the pathway. It doesn't get into the dirt, right? So we have three factors that I want to look at in this parable. We have the sower, we have the seed, and we have the garden area or the soil. And we have four kinds of soil. We have the soil beside the road or the pathway that's hardened. We have a rocky soil. And in that area, a lot of the ground is a lot closer to bedrock than in other places. And rocks are closer to the top. So there's areas that look great, but their soil isn't that good. And then there's the thorny where the weeds are, and that's a place that hasn't been prepared for the garden. And then you have the good soil, okay? So Jesus explains this in starting with verse 18. Let's read there. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. Verse 23, and the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it. Did you ever consider or realize that the difference in between these two soils was understanding? They both had the same seed. They both had the same sower. They both received the seed on some level. But the good soil understood it, and the hardened soil did not. Now, the soil represents in this story what Jesus said is anyone hearing the word of the kingdom and receiving it in his heart. The seed represents the word of the kingdom. So in the explanation, both types of people hear and receive the word in their heart, but only the good soil, or the person who understands it, actually has seeds into his heart that becomes profitable. That's the only seeds that actually work well. The seed gets into that good soil, and it's allowed to germinate. It's got air, and it's got room, and it's been plowed, and that good seed gets in there deep, and it begins to, you know, you mull it over. It's in there, and he understands it. That's understanding. Whereas the other one, the hardened path, the seed can't get in there because everything's all packed in so tightly. The hardened heart is so set on a particular way that even God is unable to teach it something new. Now, right before Jesus explains this parable, we'll go back up a few verses to verse 14, and here's what he says about these people, these Israelite leaders. He says, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. The King James Version says, waxed gross. It means to thicken, to callous, to harden, like a pathway or a roadway. See how he's linking this stuff up? With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. Understand. Jesus says, hear and understand. Make your soil good, your heart good. Let those seeds of the kingdom, the words of the kingdom, get deep down into your heart and mull it over. Let it sit there. Pray about it. Ask about it. Research it. Think about it. Just thinking about it is allowing that seed to germinate in your soul. Be good soil. Also, something else I learned from this. To truly understand, less of me and more of you. That's what I had to say to God this week. Less of me and more of you. John 3:30. John the Baptist says, he must increase, but I must decrease. Decrease. We talked last week when we were talking about extraordinary Jesus and the things that are extraordinary in our lives. And when Jesus came onto the scene, he came on in such a way that the Israelite leaders had no idea how to wrap their heads around how different everything was that Jesus was doing. He wasn't coming like the same king that he expected, and they were like, no, this isn't right. He wasn't setting up the kingdom like they expected. Jesus said that their hearts were hardened. Understanding apparently becomes difficult when we have too many preconceived ideas. Right, you need to write that down. I did. Too many preconceived ideas apparently makes us hard-hearted. Proverbs 28:26, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. And frankly, I pity the fool. Romans 12:16b says, do not be wise in your own estimation. 1 Corinthians 8:2, if anyone supposes that he knows anything, he is not yet known as he ought to know. Sometimes we need to realize one of the most important things about understanding is understand you don't understand. Yeah, right. Understand that you don't understand. That's the first step of learning. It reminds me of this Zen master. Some of you may have heard this. This is an old proverb, but there was this Zen master. People traveled from far and wide to come and get life lessons and get advice about their life and about wisdom and success. And on this particular day, this scholar arrived at the Zen master's place and wanted to ask him about life and success. Teach me, O master, he said. Soon it became obvious that the scholar was so full of his own opinions and his own knowledge, he kept repeatedly interrupting the Zen master with his own stories, with his own remedies, and he failed to listen to anything that the master had to say. And the master calmly suggested that they have some tea. So the master poured his guest a cup. And the cup was getting fuller, and the cup began to spill over. And the scholar looked up at him. The master kept pouring. It was pouring out on the table, and pretty soon it was leaking off the table and getting onto the floor and on their shoes. And the scholar said, stop, the cup is already full, can't you see? And the master said, exactly. You are like this cup, so full of ideas that nothing more will fill it. Come back to me with an empty cup. Be teachable. Have you realized how difficult it is to teach someone something that they think that they already know? Oh, musicians are the worst too. I was doing a concert in Las Vegas one time, and we had this young drummer, and he was very new at doing this, but he was a good drummer. And he thinks that he really scored this great concert because there was in between 8,000 and 10,000 people there, and he was just so excited. He just thought he was on top of the world, and he's got it figured out. And they were trying to tell him, you know, here's the deal. When you get to this certain point, and he's like, no, I got it. Yeah. Everything they tried to say, yeah, I'm good, you know, I'm good. I got it. I'm going to do this. Everything's going to be fine. So everything went fine. I mean, we got to the end of the concert, you know, and you've got that last sting. So we hit that last note, like that. And he's just so excited. He thinks he's a rock star. And he stands up and he chunks his sticks out into the audience like that. They're going to love me. This is going to be great. And about that time, the sticks get up in the air. All the lights go out. For effect. It was supposed to be a vroom, lights go out. Oh, that was so cool. Sticks are up in the air. Drummer's like, little bit later, I go backstage, and there's a lady and her husband. She's smiling, but she has a black eye. True story, she caught that stick right there. So we had to do some signatures and sign some stuff, like that was worth anything. But still, we didn't get sued. But sometimes you get somebody that thinks that they have arrived. They've got all this information. They have reached a level to where they are now somebody. It is difficult to teach them anything new. We have to sometimes empty ourselves. Understand that it's okay to not understand. Then God can begin to teach you something. Desire understanding, but know that it's okay to not understand. Be teachable. Jesus says, hear and understand. So I want to point out these three things that I learned from this study. Number one, involve God. We have to get in a habit of involving God before we do stuff, not after. Before you get into trouble. Before you reply on Facebook. Have you ever done that? You get a little bit frustrated. Like, there's no way they're going to get away with that. And you start typing, and you've got something about that long to put on Facebook. And then about when you're about to hit send or post, the Holy Spirit says, and you're like, oh, I can't put any of that. Delete, 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 delete. Involve God in your decision-making process, in your thought process. Involve him first. Before you form opinions, involve God. King Josiah should have included God before he fought an irrelevant war and got himself and others killed. Peter should have asked Jesus before he got in a fight with the slave. It wasn't even his enemy. It was one of the guy's slaves. I should have talked to God before I, and fill in the blank there for yourself. Have you ever done anything without conversing with God first and kind of went south? If we can learn that every time there is a decision to be made, involve God. If we go to turn to 1 Corinthians 2, and this is one of my favorite areas of the Bible here. I believe 9 starts with, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have entered to the heart of man that which God hath prepared for those that love him. But I have revealed them by my Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, the deep things of God. God says, I have revealed those things by my Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth the deep things of God. Verse 11, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. No one knows you better than you do. Your true man, your true woman, that person inside of you, that person knows everything you think about, good or bad. Well, the same is with God. The Holy Spirit knows what he's thinking, what he's feeling. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. We have that Spirit that knows what God is thinking and feeling, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. Involve God is lesson number one. If Josiah could do it again, he would involve God, first thing. Number two, I learned when Jesus spoke about the parable of the sower, be good soil. To truly understand, you're going to have to get that seed deep into your heart. You have to mull it over, let it germinate. Think about it, pray about it, be plowable. Ephesians 4:17. So this I say, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. Be good soil. Don't let your heart get hardened. And then number three, be teachable. Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. Yeah, so making sure my Bible was right. Be teachable. It's okay not to know something, because when you realize you don't know something, then you can begin to learn it. So why is understanding so important? Because without understanding, your faith slowly becomes insignificant and irrelevant. Remember that Israel's hardness of heart did not happen overnight. It did not happen in a week or a year. But time after time after time, when they lacked understanding and had no desire to understand God or their relationship with Him, their faith became irrelevant. Without understanding, your relationship begins to grow cold. Think about if those of you who are married, your relationship with your spouse, when you begin to not understand why you're married, you begin to not understand what your marriage is about, or understand that person, your relationship begins to grow cold. What's the purpose? I don't know. I don't understand it anyway. I'm not saying, guys, you should understand women 100%, but you should understand your spouse. You should understand why you're married. You should understand your relationship so it doesn't grow cold. Involve God. Be good soil. Be teachable. 2 Timothy 2:7 says, consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Seek understanding. There are loads of scripture about wisdom and understanding in Proverbs, and there's a reason for it, and the New Testament as well. Seek that understanding. If you would stand with me, please.